Yes, it is the time for children's worship. Allison is getting up. If there's anybody with kids that they want to send downstairs with her, they'll be joining the children from the Spanish congregation to go and spend time together as I share with you. God does move in a mysterious way. I did not expect to be speaking today. Even though Scott did have me on the service schedule for later in the month, today was not the day that I had seen. But when you get an opportunity like that, and you look at the songs that are selected, those are the songs that were selected before I knew I was going to preach. God said, hey, Kevin, you get a chance to talk about something that you're passionate about. And that's disciple making. You got that. And when you get a chance to do that, you also sometimes get some really great examples. I was blessed with that again as well. So what is disciple making about? It's about creating a relationship. The first mission trip that I ever went on, I learned this firsthand. We went and we were ready to go and get our hands dirty and lift heavy things and move stuff and clean garages. And we went to Finland. The missionary that was there had lost his wife in a tragic car accident the winter before. We cooked dinner for the city council in the town that he lived in. We went and did visitation and visited Christians and did encouragement ministry with them. And Allison and I and the other people that were on the team kept looking at each other going, this isn't what we planned on doing. This isn't what we're supposed, this is not mission work. But those people, those Christians that were there in Finland, didn't have fellowship with people very often. They're very spread out. We think about Southside. We think about how far we travel to get to worship. Some of us traveling an hour or more sometimes. They had more than an hour drive, far more than an hour drive sometimes, to be able to just interact with another Christian family. So having someone come and visit them and build a relationship with them was huge. Look at how Jesus ministered to his disciples. We joke about it. We talk about how people come when we have food. But they ate together. They shared time together. They traveled together. They did everything in life with each other. If we are truly going to make disciples, and this sermon, this lesson is for me, because I got slapped in the face yesterday and realized some changes that I need to make. If we're truly going to be making disciples, if we're truly going to be creating Christians who are wanting to follow God and are prepared to do that, Otto, if I need to move up to the other microphone, tell me, because I can hear it crackle. Sound stuff, sorry. I'm going to move on. That's not good for online. Okay. Sorry for those of you who are online, because I know that the audio was much worse there for you than it was here in the auditorium. Okay. So if we're going to truly create Christians and disciples, people who are excited about God, who are excited about Jesus, we have to spend time with them. We have to be in their lives. They have to be a part of our life. Now, that personal relationship, going back to being in Finland, we were told, if you're going to be a missionary here, 10 years. You've got to invest 10 years before you can start really talking about the gospel with people. Because that's how long it takes to create a friendship that is meaningful enough for them to embrace what you're going to share with them. Now, we don't necessarily have to take that long, but we do have to be intentional about it. We have to have a relationship with people. How do we do that? Well, we do it through meals, whether that's here at the building or in our own homes or in restaurants. The people that we want to know Christ, we need to spend time with, because they need to be able to do what the apostles and the disciples did with Jesus, and that is see us living a Christian life. Now, we think about disciple making, and maybe sometimes what we think about is this picture here. We think about someone being baptized, and that's, they're a disciple now, right? Well, that's part of it. Before we get here, before Idayet is in that water being baptized, there are a year's worth of fellowship times, a year's worth of coffees, a year's worth of sharing meals with each other's families. It's hard here in America. Our culture, our lives are busy. And we've bought into that. We believe that's how we have to be. True disciple making is going to require that we slow down. It's going to require that we have an opportunity to go and have a coffee together, to have someone over to our house, to go and fellowship with them somewhere in a meaningful way. I find it hard. My family finds it hard. Michael does fencing on Monday nights. Abby has swim Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. William has swim on Monday. Abby has ballet on Tuesday nights. They all three have martial arts on Wednesdays. We homeschool. We're busy. We do a lot of stuff. And I don't always take the time. We don't always take the time to disciple. We don't always take the time to be in people's lives intentionally. So what is that discipling about? What is that personal relationship? It's a chance for us to teach. It's a chance for us to show people how Christ has changed our life, to talk about things that have been meaningful to us, that have brought us along the path to being more Christ-like. It's a chance for us to tell them what it means to us to be a Christian. What are the signs of someone who is in this assembly? What are things that we believe? How do we think about the Bible? How do we interpret? How do we read the Bible as a church? Some of you may be sitting there right now going, "That's a good question, Kevin. How would I describe that?" If you're thinking that, find me. Find Troy. Find Ken. Find Rex. And sit down and talk with us. Be discipled a little bit more so that you can share that, so that you can share it with someone else. Because it's awesome to hear people say how welcoming we are in our assembly. We have visitors that come, not always, but a high majority of the time, people that come and visit us say how welcoming we are, how they felt like they were a part of something. They felt a warmth here. And that's great. But then we need to start sharing with them what makes us create an atmosphere like that here. That discipling time gives us an opportunity to model things. It gives us a chance to show what our family life looks like. That may not always be pretty. My kids are sitting there and they'll attest that it's not always pretty in our house. But it's real. And it allows other people to see that some of the struggles that they have are no different than ours. The discipling time takes on a lot of different things. Those yellow flowers in the bottom right there, those are flowers that they're edible. We got treated to those while we were in Ukraine. The kids were walking and they're like, "Oh, Those are really great. They taste like bananas. They don't taste like bananas. They taste kind of like peas. The meal there on the left, well, that's a traditional Albanian meal. There's no way you'd ever see something like that going to somebody's house. That's in a restaurant. The other one, the upper right, that's camp in Albania. It's an activity where they had married couples get up, and Allison is getting ready to feed me the pie that she's holding. We couldn't move our hands from behind our backs. We had to give instructions on what our partner needed to do. And they brought leaders up to do that. They brought leaders up to show, one, that we could have fun. Two, that communication is crucial. And three, that we weren't afraid to get messy. That's what discipling looks like. Discipling looks like going on a walk with those teenagers in Ukraine. It looks like going to somebody's house and letting them give you the best of what they have to share. It means getting up in front of people or being with people in a group and being vulnerable. Being willing to accept that we need to change and we need to grow. I said I got slapped in the face. Well, the dear brother that we worked with in Korça, Albania, which is the last city that we lived in, I've been talking with him a lot in the past couple of months, and he sent out his newsletter yesterday as I was sitting in the back of the auditorium working on my sermon. And I stopped and I read it. And he was on Facebook Messenger, and so I hopped on to say some things to him, because as I read his newsletter, I was like, Albert, you're illustrating my sermon. You are doing what I want to do, what I believe every Christian needs to do. He said, dear brothers and sisters, we pray you are doing well and enjoying God's love, peace, and mercy in your lives. As I was preparing to write this newsletter, the above verses came to my mind. Those verses are, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. That's from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Those verses reflect not only the Apostle Paul's heart desire for the Colossian believers, but they also reflect the desire and the prayer of our hearts for you. We thank our God for you, for the partnership we have together in the Lord, and we continue to pray that God will continue to bless you all with wisdom, strength, and that we can all together bear fruit for God's glory. Below, you will be able to read about God's work that is being done in Korça. I'm not going to read his whole letter, but his first paragraph talks about being blessed through service. He talks about how he is teaching the men and encouraging them to be actively sharing their faith. He talks about how his wife, Yona, is working with the women and teaching them and planning events with them and bringing people together. He continues his letter and asks for prayers for different families and things that are happening. And then he starts talking about the outreach that they and the church in Korça are doing. He talks about Operation Christmas Child, anybody ever packed shoeboxes? They were blessed with boxes this year that they shared at the children's hospital there and different places throughout the city and with kids that they work with directly. He talks about getting food bags and sharing those with members of the church that are in need. And then he talks about something that I never thought would happen. He talks about how they were able to go to the police department there in Korcha and do a Christmas party for the kids, for the children of the officers. That's a door that, living there for 7 years, I didn't think that door would ever open. But it did. He talks about the fact that Yona is battling kidney failure right now. And he has to tell her to slow down sometimes. And I sat there and I looked at it and I said, Albert, you're doing what I want to do. You're taking time for the people that you're discipling. You're sharing with them. And I stopped and I thought, how did Jesus disciple? And this is the lesson that I wanted to do anyway. How did he do it? Well, it's what he lived. It was truly who he was. We in leadership sometimes look around and go, well, or at least I do, maybe Troy and Ken don't. I look around and I say, I'd love to have more people that are interested in knowing how to live stream. I'd love to have more people that are interested in knowing how to do this or that. I'd love to have somebody who's shadowing Otto and learning all the things that he knows about this building and all of the things that he does to keep the heat going and all of the little things that we don't see in the background that he does. But I don't know who to tap. I submit that maybe that's not a problem with who is here, but it's a problem with how we are discipling each other. It's a problem with how we are following. I don't know people well enough to say, hey, this person would be interested in doing that. I don't spend enough time. Our culture, our American lives, make it difficult for us to be Christians. Our culture says, go, go, go. Our culture says, if you're not earning enough money, work more. I think that as we look at our Christian lives, some of the things that we need to evaluate is, what is enough money? What is most valuable in my life? What are the things that are important? And maybe for us, being counterculture isn't necessarily denouncing the sins that we see openly displayed by people around us. Maybe for us as Christians in America, being counterculture is seeing that go, go, go and hearing it and realizing that it's not calling us to be busy. It's not calling us to fill our lives with things. It's calling us to go to people. It's calling us to take the gospel with us, and it's calling us to share. Jesus sent the disciples out. He told them to go. He tells us to go. So when we look around and we think, we don't have people to do things. We don't have people to fill the roles that need to be filled. Start building better relationships. And that's going to carry over into the people around you who aren't here this morning, who've never been here. Start discipling people in your life. See those people who need Jesus, who need Christ to change them the way that he's changed you, that you already have a relationship with. And start modeling a little bit more. Start sharing a little bit more. For us, that's, I think, the hurdle, is to figure out how to not always be busy. And it's not an easy thing to overcome. So my message, I guess, for you, my takeaway that I want you to have is this, that if you are feeling like you don't understand your faith clearly, find one of us. I'm going to be more intentional about trying to meet with people, about trying to share with people, to grow as a body. And that's what we all want. Not necessarily numbers here, because people come and people go. I want the body overall to grow. And that requires us being honest with each other. It requires us being willing to accept criticism, to accept someone calling out a sin that they see in our lives and not looking back at their life and going, oh, but you. We need to be open to sharing with each other our lives. And not just the lives that, in Albert's letter, I've been talking with him a lot. I know there's a lot more than all of those great Facebook, Instagram highlights that go in the newsletter. I know what it's like to write the newsletter. We need to be able to share our real lives with each other without fear. When we start doing that, we're going to start looking and discipling more like Jesus did. Because he was honest about who he was. He didn't hide it. He was honest about who he expected his disciples to be. He was willing to, when they came to him and said, well, these people over here, they're preaching, and they're not doing it quite right. Should we call fire and lightning down on them and destroy them? And no, guys, calm down. It's okay. We need to be like the disciples at that point. Maybe a little bit ashamed of how we were acting, but willing to accept that and to grow. Discipling is a lifestyle, and it's a choice. It's like loving. It's like having a joy-filled life. It's like seeing beauty in things. All of those things are choices. We can choose to look for the beauty in things, or we can see the ugliness. We can choose to have joy in our lives, or we can despair. And we can choose to love, or we can be lonely and sad. We can choose to disciple, or we can sit and look at the culture around us and look at the world around us and lament how things are going so terribly wrong. So if we're worried about where the world is headed, where our country is headed, the way to change that isn't through activism. It's not through getting up and marching or doing anything like that. It's by building relationships and discipling people in our lives. Because as people come to know Christ and are changed by him, then culture will change too. So that's a lot of rambling, I know. But if you want to learn more about discipling, let's talk. Let's figure it out. If you're visiting with us and you want to ask me questions about things that I said, please ask me. I want to talk about it. I want my life to change. I want the shape of my heart to change right now. This is a chance that I think God is giving me to do that. So as a church, let's start being more intentional and choose to disciple people. Drag them kicking and screaming if you have to. As visitors, I encourage you to get to know God better. If you don't know him, if you don't know Jesus, find somebody to share with you about him. Find somebody who's willing to talk. There's a lot of us here who are. Most importantly, I want us to be living and serving together. I want us to truly feel like family. And I want us to do everything in our power to create that relationship. So if you are a member of this church and you are questioning your ability to disciple make and you want to pray about it, come up. If you are a visitor to this church and you want to know more about Christ, come and talk with me. If you need prayers, if you're hurting, I want to pray with you. I want to share with you the love that God has for you. If you have any needs, please come and let me know as we stand together and sing.